everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 121. Today is June 21st, 2011, and I am your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. And, of course, we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community as Gaming for the Elderly. And with me this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello. Yes, I'm here. Present. Yes.
You are present, indeed.
Present, yes. Yeah. Gamertag Chin Chinny, PlayStation Network tag Chinny1985. So, yeah. How are you, Greg?
I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awfully lovely in this podcast today.
It is.
Lots of leg room.
There is a lot of leg room. And this is one of those rare times where not only did we get kind of like, I can't really say sacked, but caught off guard by the absence of one of our hosts that we had thought was going to be here. And that's Christopher Matthew. Mike, now, I believe you have some info on his whereabouts.
Yep, Christopher Matthew is a former Russian mobster, and he's currently a hardball pulp fiction novel. That's what he's doing right now. He's writing a fiction novel. So, you know, he didn't want to miss the wedding of his daughter, so he had to fly to New Jersey. This is the plot of Driven to Kill. It's a terrible plot. I'm just trying to come up with something off the cuff and say it very funny, but it didn't work.
Yeah, no. I think maybe the real thing we should just say is Mr. Matthew gave us the silent middle finger. And I don't think he even knows that he gave us the silent middle finger. For all we know, he's fallen asleep feeding his child. But, we don't know where Chris is, really. That's the truth of the matter.
He's in Arizona.
Sure. He's in Arizona. Why not?
Yeah.
Mr. Big Bad Daddy, of course, we know he has been on the run now for quite some time.
Yes.
The Ugandan dollar scam, then the goat filming issue. I mean, a lot of crazy stuff going on.
His girlfriend sent me a text message the other day.
Was she asking you to send money?
No. She said, let me read it out, because what happened was, me and...
She looking for a new boyfriend.
Are you available? Me and Richard Webster, right, we both play the guitar, and we're both big fans of Flight of the Conchords, right?
Okay.
Flight of the Conchords is a show. Just Google it, whatever. Right. And, they play a lot of music, and Richard Webster played me the intro of the show over WhatsApp, and he recorded it and sent it to me, right? And then...
Yeah, and by the way, WhatsApp, greatest app ever.
It's great. Really. Yeah. If you want to text people, anyone, really, it doesn't matter. He sent me, I don't know if you can hear this. Let's see if you can. You kind of get the idea.
Right.
And so I replied with a song. Right, from Flight of the Conchords. And then his girlfriend sent me a message saying, you and my boyfriend are... God, WhatsApp is slow. Best app ever, my arse. yeah. So you'll have to edit this part out, Greg, because I know you do a lot of editing in the show.
Yes, I do a ton of editing in the show. Absolutely.
She said, you and my boyfriend are queer and born for each other. So...
Okay.
You know. So that's what me and that's the latest on Richard Webster. I don't know where he is tonight.
We don't know where he is, but we now know he's queer.
For anybody who thinks that we don't talk to him anymore, we do. Well, yeah. I don't. I just play music to him.
Right. And that's not queer at all.
And School Dugger, where is he?
Okay, so Skull, he sent this list. He said, I've been playing some games, and he gave us some games, and it all sounds again like cover up, because I mean, honestly, who plays Operation Flashpoint Red River? Who plays Star Wars The Complete Saga? I'm just saying, nobody. So really, all indications are Rich is he has left the country, he is on the run, and
he's gonna meet Richard Webster in France.
Exactly. And they're gonna probably be queer together in France, which is, appropriate.
More power to him.
Man. Hey, who else is in France? My niece. Just a crazy side note. Yeah, she is. Yeah.
How old's your niece?
She's 18.
Man. All right. I mean, yeah, we're good for her.
Yeah. No. It was. You know, I was all excited for her. I was like, ah, you're going to France, and then I found out. So her parents. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no taken episode in this family.
All right. Should we crack on?
I think we should. Yeah. We're just gonna. Oh, you know. All right. And I would just like to wrap up this whole, you know, missing hosts thing, because we've been trying to backfill guest hosts into the show because, you know, we've sounded out and gotten some other people in the community to fill in when needed. But because of the very last minute lateness of us not knowing certain hosts were going to be showing.
We thought Chris was going to turn up. But
yeah. We did. I then went on the prowl to try and maybe turn up one of these previous hosts that were, you know, excited to, you know, do it again, and said, you know, hey, anytime you need somebody. Well, anytime apparently means anytime but now.
But now.
Yeah, but now. Yeah. So we tried. You know, we looked for UK, Dave Dog UK. We looked for Marcanix.
Did you try John Mayo?
You know what? I did not try John Mao.
Shall we get him on live? Shall we have, like, do it?
Let's see if we can pull in John Mao.
Yeah, but I'll work on it. You
work on it. See if we can pull him in. Otherwise, at this point, we're probably just going to bust on, because really everything, all resources, just, I mean, nobody responding. No Real Defoe, no Steve Conger. I mean, everybody just basically.
Fucking, you know, Real Defoe. Oh, John's writing back. I can see the little squiggly line on Skype.
Well, we're going to bust into what we've been playing right now.
Sweet.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing... Well, before we get on with that, Mike...
We got somebody here.
I know. Talk about last minute.
Yeah. Told I could sort it out. John's there.
I suppose we should introduce him, huh? John Mao 5, also known as Jonathan Wilson. Did I get that right, John?
Yes, you did.
Well, you added the question mark for a second. I know.
You added the question mark at the end. Jonathan Wilson? The guy at the end of his name.
You know, yes. just double checking, making sure. Now, John, real quick introductions for yourself. Gamer tags, all that good stuff. Go ahead and, you know, throw out the pride that is the Play Vault, all that good kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to be here. My name's Jonathan Wilson, as Greg so lovingly put. And my Xbox gamer tag is JohnMao5, and my Twitter's also JohnMao5. So, quick plug there to just go and add me. I need followers and I need friends.
We all can use a friend, John. We can all use a friend. John, you answered the call, which is awesome, because nobody else, all these people that said, oh, podcast, whenever, everybody said no. And in fact, we thought you were going to give us the finger as well, because, you know, you're not in your normal podcasting surroundings, but you came through. You said, what the hell? Yeah. Let's give it a shot.
I'm a little out of comfort for my normal podcast surroundings because I'm not used to podcasting and wearing pants.
Right.
Brilliant.
Not both at the same time.
You don't have to turn your video on. That's the problem.
Though. Yeah.
Stop sending me requests to do so then in the chat.
Yeah.
Do you like this photo, John? Do you like this photo now? No.
Yeah. Next thing you know, we're going to be playing Uno on Xbox Live. All right, let's move forward from this nonsense.
What have you been playing?
Yeah,
Uno.
Let's talk. Been playing. John, why don't you start us off? What have you been playing, my friend?
I have been sent Dungeon Siege 3 to review for the Play Vault. So I've been playing quite a lot of that lately, just randomly online, and it is awesome. It is so good.
Although Dungeon Siege 3, you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, Dungeon Siege 3.
This is a MMO. A MMO. Is this an MMO?
No. I would say this is more like an action RPG. Would that be?
I thought it was a MMO, so it's a Rupagug.
It is a Rupagug.
Right. Yes.
God.
We can just keep Mike out of this conversation, John. We'll just talk about the game.
Does it have swords and elves and shit?
It doesn't really have elves as such, or not any that have sort of jumped out at me or anything
yet. What about swords, John?
It does have a lot of swords.
Fuck it, I'm out.
But it does have guns.
Ah,
and it does
I'm have back in.
Women that can set themselves on fire.
Well, I'm in.
As okay. a special ability. So it is quite cool.
That's
it's,
funny, because that's what I request when I go out.
Square Enix developed it. And,
I'm back out again, sorry.
It's a little bit like a sort of co-op Dragon Age, more like the original one. It does quite a cool thing where you've got your whole dialogue section, because when you're playing online co-op, you can see what the other players, what option they want to say in the conversations, and sort of they vote for what they want you to pick if you're hosting the game.
Right.
So that is quite cool. But
is this on the PUC? Is this on the PC?
No, it's on the Xbox.
It's on the Xbox. Right.
Yeah, I don't play on the PUC. No one plays on the PUC.
Yeah, PUC is dead, so...
It's a little annoying, though, because it does the whole Fable-style and co-op annoyingness where you have to share a screen, which is just not on.
Now, John, what about like experience and stuff? I mean, do you like what you earn as a co-op player, do you take that back with you to your game, or is it just
you better.
Nothing?
No.
So basically, there's no incentive for somebody to jump in and play co-op with you.
Not really, other than a few achievements. I opened up my game and a very nice lad joined me and was basically telling me how he'd just completed the game and he thought it was brilliant. And he basically was quite annoyed that he couldn't even carry his co-op character over into my game. It was just, you've got your character in your game and that's it.
Yeah, that seems a little antiquated.
Yeah.
If you could carry over your XP and your character, you know, they would be on a winner.
Well, yeah. There'd be all kinds of reasons to play co-op, but as is. You're not selling me, John. You're not selling me. The whole It's Brilliant thing is kind of going down the river.
Talk to me, John. Talk to me.
It's got its own sort of charm about it, though, where the backstory is quite deep. And I've only played as one character at the moment. Like, some of them have just got their swords or their bows, but I'm not really into a lot of that stuff. So I chose the woman with the guns straight away, the woman with the big guns.
Yeah, I bet you chose the woman with the big guns.
Yeah. We talked about sexism on the Veteran Gamers today, but fuck it.
Yeah.
But it is pretty good. It's pretty much more, I don't think you'll like it, Mike. It is just more for sort of people that do like the Ruppergers and... Yeah.
Losers, right.
Hey now.
There's a lot of weird sort of side quests. I walked up to one character and it's all voice acted quite well, but I walked up to one character and he said, I've got nothing else for you to do right now, but if you want to help me do some fishing, that would be awesome. So you have
that
to
seems
go
very realistic. Like sometimes you go up to your gaffer, like your boss at work. He's like, "No, I've got nothing for you. If you want, you can pop to shops with me." You know,
yeah, or shuffle some paper or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You throw your bait in. You know, you catch this really big fish, and yeah, there's quite a few just weird quests like that. It's a bit annoying though that I had no idea where I was going. There's no map in this game.
Really?
There's a mini map, but there's no map.
No map, jeez.
And it just seems so weird playing a game that's caught like this big without a map.
You've got to have a map.
Yeah, no, that is a little annoying.
You've got sort of breadcrumb Fable trail, what they used in Fable as well, to sort of show you where to go. But I'm still running around in circles, and I don't have a clue what I'm doing.
Pay attention to the road signs. But, okay, so... The fishing thing, I'm intrigued. So literally you've got nothing else to do in the game, and the guy's like, I got nothing for you to do, and there's nobody else you can go to, and he's just go fishing? Or because that seems to me like that's almost like part of the plot.
You have you sort of have to grind your way a little bit at the beginning because you are quite weak when you start. And to and do
fishing sort of makes work. You strong.
Well, to grind my way up, I started going along a lot of the side quests, and he does basically say, you know, do some fishing. And I went and threw in some bait that he gave me, and nothing really happened. And I was thinking, oh, you know, nothing's really like going on here. And then something else sort of happens, and someone else appears from literally nowhere and says,
"What were you fishing?" Oh,
well, yeah, well, to the side of you, they don't like come out of the water. They don't catch. And then they tell you about this big mutant fish thing that's sort of attacking everyone. And
it is kind of a quest, really. Like they're kind of pulling the wool over your eyes.
Yeah, you think it's not when you start, but it is. This wouldn't be the game that I would go into the shop and buy if it wasn't that I had to review it for the playvault.com. You should go there and definitely check that out.
And you sound like somebody else I know.
Thank you. That's what I, you know what, John, who's you think you are?
John, I would like to go back to your original comments about how great this game was, because slowly but surely, as we've talked about this game, and now based off your last comment of, it's not a game I'd really ever go and buy.
Okay. I should rephrase it.
Did you get it sent to you for a review?
Yeah.
I bet they're glad they sent that email. Oh, strange things about our game.
I did state in the email that I would only say good things about it on my podcast, though.
See? Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Nice. All right, so Dungeon Siege 3, it's a great game unless you're going to buy it, in which case, don't.
It's good. It's not worth sort of full retail value of £40, but for sort of when it comes down to about £20, it'd be a great game, especially if you like fishing.
Okay. Fishing, it sells it right there. What else have you been playing, John?
I got sent another game for review this week. I got sent Alice Madness Returns for the Xbox.
Yeah.
And it is one of the darkest games I've ever played, like, ever.
You mean dark is weird, right?
Yeah. There was some foreshadowing, really, John. Alice the Madness Returns.
Yeah. Play with the title.
Well, I wasn't expecting it to be like Viva Pinata, to be honest, but it is quite good, especially because there's not a lot of platformers on the Xbox. There isn't any, really. That was more sort of a PlayStation era.
Banjo-Kazooie,
I think the platformers for the Xbox all reside in Xbox Live Arcade. They really don't come out retail-wise.
Yeah, platformers are kind of dead, really. Yeah. 3D platformers, anyway.
Anyway, we're totally sidetracking you. Continue on. Yeah. Alice, Madness, Dark.
This Alice brings platformers back, baby. It brings them back. It is so, so good. And this is good and without fishing, and I'm not going to go back on it halfway through. It is actually a really good game. It's almost as if Tim Burton's brain was just exploded onto a disc and they made it into a game. It is really dark, and it's just fantastic to play so far. I feel quite embarrassed to say that my girlfriend has already completed it. She's like, oh, you've got to get to the ending. It's really good. But I'm about halfway through. And it's got a bit of everything in there. You've got sort of 2D side scroll sections. You've got mini games. You've got a hell of a lot of jumping from platform to platform. But it's just fantastic. I cannot fault it at all.
So, with 3D platformers, the biggest gripe for me is usually the camera. So here's the camera on this.
It's mainly all right. The only sort of problems I've had with the camera is when you aim at the enemies, it sort of zooms you in a little bit too far. And when you're trying to move and you're zoomed in, you'll get stuck behind objects in the game world, like the giant mushrooms or things of that nature, and that's not too great. But the weapons are really cool, especially for sort of, they're quite original.
It's got like a pepper gun, right, and stuff like that.
Yeah, you've got a pepper grinder to shoot your enemies with. You get given a massive knife to start with, and you get given this sort of hobby horse to just whack the enemies around the head with as well, which is, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's such a good game for a platformer anyway, and it's a little bit out of my normal genre of games. It's fantastic. You need to give it a try.
Okay.
So brilliant. I'm looking at it at Metacritic now, and
68.
69 now. It's gone up.
Oh, that could have been because of my review.
So, you know, I'm looking at it. So, you know, 7. Let's say 7 out of 10. That's not a bad score at all.
No.
But, like, you know.
You're definitely selling me on this game a lot more than Demon's Siege. Dungeon Siege.
I've heard a lot of negative things about it, and it's basically the things that I've heard is repetition. It's very, you know, repetitive. So I don't know, is that something that just didn't bother you, or?
It does reuse some of the same areas. You get a mini game where basically you're inside of like this sort of big, almost pirate ship, yeah. And you have to sort of guide it through. I don't know if you ever remember the really old game Blow. But you have to, like, guide. It's sort of like that. You have to guide.
Oh, I think so. Was it on the Wii or something?
I think it is probably on the Wii now. It used to be on the Game Boy, and you had to sort of guide your ship through this sort of 2D sideways maze. And that pops up quite a few times. And sometimes the levels do feel like you've sort of played them before, because there's a hell of a lot of jumping and then jumping again. And you can shrink yourself down, though, like in the novel, what happens in that, where, you know, she drinks the potion and then she's, like, really tiny. And that opens up sort of, like, little doorways and extra paths and passages. And they've implemented quite a lot of cool little features of their own into the game. And her dress changes every level, so, you know, how cool is that?
Oh, yeah, it's a feature. So I'm going to read it, like Edge magazine have put, like, the game's visual and combative energy sparked the urge to see where it goes next, if only there was something to do when you get there. And a lot of people saying, like, it's a very imaginative game, it's unique, but, you know, they're saying it just kind of doesn't deliver on the whole game aspect. As a game, idea, it's better than a game, I suppose.
That's but see, I mean, if you said that the game was a 7 out of 10, that's kind of what I would be expecting.
No, yeah. Like, well, Edge gave it a 5 out of 10. So.
Well, that's Edge, though. Edge gives everything a low score.
Yeah, they're pretty harsh. And Destructoid is another one that I kind of trust, and they gave it a 7 out of 10. And they said, look, fans of Alice will find plenty to do, to hear, to love, and will certainly want to return to Wonderland to work towards a satisfying narrative conclusion.
You should go check out that Play Vault review. See what that joke has to say.
8 out of 10.
It's a bar.
Well, what was quite nice.
Gave it 8 out of 10.
This is published by EA, and we all know how popular EA were with their whole $10 pass to play online with everything style thing. But with Alice, they've actually done it a lot better. If you buy the game new, you get the original American McGee's Alice game. You get a code to download the full game that came out on PC, I think around like 99, 2000 years ago. And that's just quite a good thing to do for, like, instead of restricting you from playing stuff with the game if you buy it pre-owned, you just don't get to play the original game. And I just thought that was a step in the right direction.
Do you know offhand, because it's sounding to me like maybe this is an EA Partners deal? That Alice McGee came to EA and they partnered with them. It's not actually, so it's just strictly published, not actually being developed by an EA studio.
No, it was completely developed by a developer called Spicy Horse, fairly new and haven't really developed a lot.
Shanghai-based independent video game developer.
Okay, so yeah, they did a partners deal with EA. And that's one of the things I've noticed. The partner, when EA does a partner deal with a developer, they don't always have to do the play pass. They have other creative ways of getting around that, and it just is solely the in-house EA games that are pretty strict with the $10 play pass to play online type thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, let's move on. What else? I know there's at least one more game you've got to have been playing.
Well, the final game that we've been playing is a game that has received quite a lot of criticism from near enough everyone I've spoke to, but a lot of the people that have gave it the criticism don't even have seemed to have played it. It's Hunted.
This game is total shit, I swear. Crap.
Hunted the Demon's Forge. And it's not amazing.
It's Gears of War with swords, man. It's Gears of War with swords.
I was about to say that, actually.
Well, that was actually one of the big selling points. They actually promoted it that way in a lot of ways.
Really?
Yeah. They were saying, because they had a cover system with this game, and the cover system was just, like, identical to how Gears of War's cover system worked. So it's not
a
too surprising.
A lot is identical to Gears of War. You can tell that the developers have looked at Gears of War and thought, oh, I really want to do that. Because, you know, sort of in Gears of War, when you sprint, but you can't, like, shoot or do right. anything else at the same time, that happens. And if you go down, you can actually crawl up to your co-op partner and get them to revive you again. And they stole quite a lot from Gears of War. But it's no bad thing, because they do add quite a lot of their own little features in there. And it's basically just bows, arrows, and hitting stuff over the head that runs towards you. Oh. But I'm a little bit annoyed with it in some ways, because I played it in co-op with a friend, and as you progress through the levels, say you sort of get 3/4 of the way into a level, that's quite far, probably around 45 minutes in, and you would expect there to be a checkpoint in between those 45 minutes.
In this day and age, ooh,
yeah.
In this day and age, yeah. This feels a little bit like we're going backwards to sort of Sonic 1 and Sonic 2 on Sega, where you couldn't save it, because if you die, that is it. You've got to go back 45 minutes, sometimes an hour, and do it all again. And
yeah.
It is not fun when you come against a really hard section where there was one section where a lot of spiders ran out at once. And me and my friend Jonesy were just backed into a corner firing arrows at anything that moved. And yeah, it's okay. It's fun. But you would not want to play this game on your own at all. And I do think that a lot of people do not like this, because day one, there was no one online at all.
Yeah, it's usually not a good sign.
Yeah, it's usually not a good sign when there's no reviews on day one as well. Like, that's pretty bad, you know. When you go on Metacritic and there's nothing there.
People are just like, I just don't care enough to want to review it. That's a bad sign.
Or it's like, no, we're not giving you review copies because we don't think it's going to do well, you know. And then they do when it's released, because it doesn't matter. It's well.
And with Love Film, you never seem to get the best games first. Well, I never do, and they sent me this straight away, so I knew something was up.
Yeah.
He's only asking for it. Send it!
Yeah, that wraps up what I've been playing, though.
It is excellent. On my Love Film list, actually, because I just kind of like put everything on. You know,
no, take it off.
Stuff.
Take it off unless you're willing to play it with me on co-op.
But the thing is, I have a little notepad doc for things for my backlog games that I need to add on Love Film, and this will go in the section, you know, where I've just like all the shitty game section.
Yeah. Speaking of shitty games, Mike, let's talk about what you've been playing.
Oh, fuck off. I have been playing L.A. Noire still.
Yeah?
I've still not finished it. Most of the time, because I have to record a podcast when I get free time. So
One of the things about this game, it is not a, like, you can't just sit down and play it for a few minutes. One of the things I've noticed.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, usually I have like an hour or something. I'm like, I don't want to play it next, because I want to get into it, so I usually play it if I've got a few.
Well, in each case, is about an hour long.
Yeah, I know. It's just like I like to get into it, you know. Once I start playing it, I don't want to stop. It's very difficult to.
Yeah.
I still love it. Like, I'm not going to say too much more about it. I still think it's great. You know, I'm a Rockstar fan, so I love it. And it's got flaws, and there's some plot points that I don't really agree with, which I won't go into. But there's some things I'm like, no, that's not.
I have a very much a love hate relationship with that game. There's many things they did great, and I love it. And then there's a few things that just really kind of stick out that I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. I mean, like, I think me and Stu are going to do, like, a spoiler cast on it, so you might want to join us for that, Greg.
I might have to.
Yeah, see if you're around for that. But, you know, it's great. I will say that sometimes the frame rate drops on mine. I don't know about yours, Greg.
Well, that's atypical Rockstar. I mean, I find that in a lot of Rockstar games, that they have these moments where, like, frame rates drop out. And in particular, the 360 version has issues. Like, I know when I first fire up the game, when I first got it, the opening scene completely slowed down. Had all kinds of frame rates.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Like, it was the first couple of seconds, right? Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, there's that thing where, like, when a cutscene's going on, and, like, you can see the things in the background loading in every time that it goes to the angle, and that's quite distracting, and the drops in frame rate. But they're minor problems. You know, when you look at what the game achieves, you know, it doesn't really bother me to. So, yeah, it's a good game. I still like it. Oh.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to finish it next week so we can spoil it for everybody else.
Yeah, we will. I think we should do a spoiler cast of it.
Cool.
We good? I'm not far from the end, like you said.
Yeah, you're not too far. No. And you know, again, it's the butler. It always is the butler.
You know what, though? I'm going to buy the Rockstar Pass.
Are you?
Yeah, I will do that. When I finish.
It's not a bad deal. $10, four cases right off the go, and then whatever they discount really on the other cases, yeah.
Yeah, so like, I'm getting that, and then I'll play it again, like when I finish Dead Space or something. So I'll definitely play it again.
The Rockstar Pass was 800 points, but it's now gone up to 960.
Has it really?
Yep, I checked literally a minute ago.
I know they had it on discount. Yeah. They had it on discount for a while. It was like a special price, introductory price. Get it now while you can. Oops. For me, let's
check
see.
It now. Switch it on my Xbox.
I've got a bunch of older games. I continue playing Forza 3 with the community. Had some the Forza Inter-Community Challenge on Saturday night, excuse me, and had a nice fourth place finish, and then a not so nice seventh place finish that basically was a did not finish because my car was completely damaged to the point that I could only go about 5 miles an hour.
Damn.
Yeah, but that was kind of my fault. I knew I was not going to move up in the standings. The race was ending, and I saw one of the other teammates, his car had already crossed the finish line, so it was the AI driver. And the air driver kind of pulled out in front of me, and I just slammed right into him and did like three barrel rolls through the air. So it was worth it. A little more Homefront. Continue playing that. Love the multiplayer in Homefront. So much fun. Finished Dragon Age 2. I don't know if I talked about that last week or not, but finished that finally. And finished Uncharted 2.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Dragon Age 2.
Yes.
Right. A lot of people have been saying that it's a chore. That game is a chore and it feels cheap. How do you feel now you've finished it?
I have mixed feelings about Dragon Age 2. They absolutely did a hatchet job on the development of this game. In that they reused all kinds of, you know, basically there's about like four different, you know, internal dungeon sceneries that they use. Every dungeon feels and looks the same. You're stuck in a city and kind of like a mountainside. Those are the extent of the places you go. And while that all doesn't bother me too much, it just felt like they took a lot of shortcuts. The story actually kind of hits a lull in the middle. But the final third of the story was actually quite good, and basically was what helped get me through the game, because I stopped worrying about all the side quests and I just started playing the main plot only. Which one nice thing about the game is you'll always know what you need to do to progress in the main plot, because they identify it as in your journal main plot. So yeah, I actually liked the story a lot, and I think they did a pretty good job of it, and that was the lone kind of shining star. That, and I did like the way they handled combat in Dragon Age 2. But
I like the combat in it, but I don't have it to compare with Dragon Age 1. So
yeah, but there was just so many other things they could have done better. So I fear that they will lose a lot of fans over this game.
Wait a minute! You've just finished Uncharted 2.
Yes.
Now, what the hell's the matter with you, man?
Here's one of the same thing actually with Dragon Age 2. I stopped playing it right at the end. And Uncharted 2, I popped it in and played for maybe 10 more minutes and finished the game. But I had never finished it. And I was just like, you know, over the weekend, Father's Day weekend, I pretty much had the weekend to myself to play games. So
yeah, you did.
Then Uncharted 2, and I finished it. And I really enjoyed the ending. I know a lot of people, I guess, were kind of complaining about the end boss battle. I didn't really take any exception to it. I mean, it seemed kind of standard boss battle.
I think that's what's disappointing about it. You know, it's just, you put 1,000 bullets into that guy, and it's like...
Yeah, but it worked well within the storyline, and...
Really? Like, just to pump 1,000 bullets into somebody?
Well, because...
I think it would have been better if you just ran away from, like, a burning building or something.
Special circumstances.
Yeah.
That's why you pumped 1,000 bullets. But, yeah, I liked it, and I really liked the way they actually handled the actual ending of the movie, or the movie, the game, because it was like a movie. It wrapped up with, you know, kind of the dialogue between the characters, they're talking, and it just felt like I was watching the end of a good
Indiana Jones or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, he's talking to her, like, how scared were you? And he's like, 4 out of 10, you know, and all that. And
it's brilliant.
It's great, yeah.
That was good writing. And that's...
It sounds like it's ad-lib to me. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds... Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but, like, that's how good it is. It's still very natural, which is rare.
You know what? That's a great way of putting it. It felt very natural. It was very natural dialogue, and that's something I didn't see in the next game I was playing, which is Infamous. I got this as one of my free games off the PS3 Welcome Back package. And
I have it too.
Yeah. I'm not overly impressed. Now, I've only played probably about 20 minutes or so into the game, but I can see why this game was just given mediocre scores so far.
It wasn't, though.
Oh, it was like 7s and 8s, I think, is what it
Metacritic!
Hang on. Yeah. It doesn't strike me as anything like overly special at this point. Now, maybe it's going to get better as I progress in and start gaining more powers, but...
One thing that bothered me in Infamous is that they could shoot you from miles away.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of games have that kind of issue. That always bothers me.
Okay, so Metacritic.
Metacritic. Enlighten me.
He's saying... God, it really came out in 2009. 8.5.
Yeah, I wouldn't rate it that high so far. Now, to be fair, haven't got that far into it, so who knows? Maybe it really starts pulling its weight. But the next game on my list, and this is my new game for this week, is Child of Eden.
Oh, yes.
Giving it a go, gave it a go last night on the Kinect. And it's responsive. It plays fine. I've got no qualms about the game mechanics itself, although I will say it's a shame that they didn't actually hold this game back a little bit and wait for the finger tracking mechanic, because the way Child of Eden plays in terms of your right arm, if you will, is kind of like a rocket launcher, for lack of a better way to put it. And you lock onto targets, and then to shoot, you have to thrust your arm forward. You just kind of flick your arm forward and then it fires. But I think it would have been a lot better and a lot just mechanically sound if they could have used the Ubisoft concept of you just open your hand to fire.
Yeah.
See where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But overall, I mean, you know, like I said, mechanics are all sound. What I don't like about this game is it is so Japanese. Is that crazy? Nice. That crazy Japanese.
I didn't expect my drink.
You know, just
so Japanese.
Yeah, I don't even know how to put it in words. I mean, you've got this ridiculous character that you're trying to save.
She's trapped in the Eden. You have
makes
to save
no sense. And you know, I just honestly don't care about the storyline at all. And the fact that there's a storyline is just ridiculous in itself.
Do you think it's the best Kinect game ever made?
No.
What's the best Kinect game ever made?
I actually
Dance
like
Dance Central.
Well, Dance Central is a great Kinect game. I personally like Kinect Sports as far as Kinect
because
games.
Bear in mind, 24 hours ago, I was doing a podcast with Stuart Fowler.
Yes.
Right. And if you think about it, Stu loves dance music. He loves weird, unique, underrated games. And he loves graphics and pretty colours. So if there's one game that Stu would absolutely jeez about, it's Child of Eden. And he just wouldn't stop going on about how great it is. And it's, he says it's his possible game of the year and all this.
Yeah.
It's great.
Nice. That was good. I can't go that far. I don't think it's game of the year. I don't think it is going to even rank in my consideration for game of the year.
Dang.
You know, it's a great Kinect shooter, and it definitely has a good feel and flow to it when you're playing it with the Kinect. You know, you can play it with a controller too, and it plays just fine that way. But I think I would have preferred this game to be more like Geometry Wars, which just no story, just give me wave after wave of shit to shoot. I would have been really fine with that instead of this ridiculous cutscenes of this Japanese chick in flower beds, and it just, yeah, I just couldn't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Does this Kinect game do what a lot of them does when after certain sections it shows you like a replay of yourself?
No, I haven't seen any replays of myself. It actually has leaderboards and scoring system, which is something that I don't see on a lot of the Kinect games so far. So I was actually surprised to see that. And there's none of the ridiculous, oh, look at me jumping in the air. Oh, does my stomach really look like that? Yeah, no, none of that. It feels like a shooter. That's about the only good thing I can say in terms of the story and mechanics. I guess it's not really anything about the story and mechanics, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it.
Yeah, it's a decent connection. Yeah.
You know what? It's a game to experience. I would never recommend anybody to pay $60 for this game. This game, honestly could have been an Xbox Live Arcade game.
Yeah, do you think I'll enjoy it with the controller? Because that's how I'm probably going to play it.
Yeah, I would imagine that is how you're going to play it, unless you have Kinect.
Well, no, because it's stupid.
If you had to compare it to another game, what's it closest to being like?
Tempest. Now, there's a game that half the audience is just scratching their heads like, Tempest? What the hell game is Tempest?
I've heard of Tempest.
Yeah.
I don't know what
Tempest is from like the 1980s. It was a shooter that you basically had a dial and your fire button, and your ship kind of rotated around in a circular pattern on these the shapes, basically. And you had things coming at you that kind of would ride on rails, and you had to shoot them before they got to the end of the rail.
John.
So you'd be going in circles the entire
time. Tempest came out in 1980. Fuck this game.
I wasn't even born. No, I was minus was eight.
Yeah, minus eight.
I was a twinkle in my mom and dad's eye.
Bless both of you. Yeah, so, but that is more what I would equate this out to is kind of Tempest in that you just have things kind of coming at you and you're shooting them and, you know, it's that kind of experience.
I don't want Child of Eden now. I want Tempest instead.
Tempest, awesome.
Tempest.
All right, that's what we've been playing. You know what? Let's jump into some new releases. All right, so new releases this week coming out on the 3DS: The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time 3D.
Yeah.
Now, Steve Conger going crazy over this game right now.
Yeah. And
almost. Yeah.
I'm glad, like, they've improved. This is one of the best Zeldas ever made, so I'm glad. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, here's a game we all know and love, Dungeon Siege 3.
Awesome.
Awesome, unless you're going to pay
for
it.
With fishing.
On the PC, 360, and PS3. Fear 3 comes out this week. Yeah, Xbox 360, PS3.
I can't believe that's this week. That's
I know. Kind of surprising. Here's a game I know you were looking forward to, Mike. Shadows of the Damned. Xbox 360, PS3.
Yeah.
Maybe this game then, Cars 2, the video game.
Oh, yeah.
Out everywhere, even the map. Here's a game I'm personally excited for, gentlemen. Trenched.
Mate.
Xbox Live Arcade
we
this week.
We mentioned you on our podcast yesterday. Mechs yes. and Tower Defense.
Mechs.
You, oh, my
Win.
God.
Win. I will jizz when I download this thing.
Mechs and Tower Defense. You could get a better combination for it.
You could. You really can. Mike.
Yeah.
Too bad you got L.A. Noire on the 360, because this week, L.A. Noire, the Nicholson electroplating disaster case comes out on the PS.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I can't say that again, by the way. That was a lot.
It'll come out on the 360.
I mentioned. Hey, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Classic Trilogy HD Remake. Everything but Splinter Cell Conviction coming out this week on the PS3.
Is it really?
Yeah. And last but not least, some deals of the week on Xbox Live. It's PopCap Game Week.
Okay.
So Bejeweled 2, Bejeweled Blitz Live, Feeding Frenzy 1 and 2, Heavy Weapon, Peggle Knights Content Pack, Plants vs. Zombies, and of course everybody's favorite, Zuma, all on sale.
Zuma.
Zuma.
That Zuma's tough.
Peggle.
And
yeah.
Plants vs. Zombies.
John, any favorites out of that list there for you?
Feeding Frenzy, probably, because they should have had Feeding Frenzy as a mini game in Dungeon Siege for the fishing parts. It might have made it a little bit more interesting. But Feeding Frenzy, definitely. What's not cool about being a fish and eating smaller fish?
Yeah, fuck the smaller fish.
Alright, that's it for new releases. Done.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! Can't handle the truth.
All right, so news this week. Hey, Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
It came out.
Yeah.
And, they had kind of a little bit of a fallout. Not only was the game shit, but apparently the PR firm behind the game got shit upon by...
Was this the whole sexism thing?
No, they actually kind of threatened to blacklist some gaming sites for giving them a bad review. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gearbox said, you know, even though we like the concept of blacklisting for bad reviews, we can't have that.
No.
So they nixed the reviewer. Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that's kind of a fair thing for game companies to do? Because it's been done before.
Oh, yeah. But if you make a bad game, people should know. Like, the reason why reviews exist is that they're meant to tell us if spending our money is worthwhile. It's for a game like, you know, GTA or Call of Duty, like, they're gonna sell. Who cares, right? But they have to review them, because if they didn't, people would get pissy about them. But it is for games like, you know, Alice or, Hunted the Demon Forge, or, you know, those kind of like middle area games where you could be either way, you know? And we need reviews for that. And like, I want to, and if Fear 3 came out and all of a sudden it was getting 10 out of 10s, Greg, you'd be like, oh, what the fuck? Like, I've got to get on this, you know? But I think if
it
you
is
make
gonna
a good
get
game,
10 out of 10s.
Yeah, it is. It is getting some good reviews, apparently. But if you make a shit game, be prepared to kind of suffer the wrath, you know?
No, I agree.
It's not nice, and people work hard on these things, but, you know, sometimes they've got to be told.
Well, and I also wonder...
Dated.
It is definitely dated, but I wonder if sometimes publishers think that they can... And not so much the publishers, I should say and reaffirm, this is not Gearbox that was doing this. This actually was the PR firm itself, you know, working outside of Gearbox, that they were the ones that were kind of blacklisting, if you will. You know, I mean, I get it. It's their job to promote the game, and certainly they, you know, based on what they do to promote the game and get it in good graces with everybody else, you know, of course Gearbox is going to, you know, hire them back for additional work. And I think they just took it too far. You can't go that route. I mean, that would be like, you know, them trying to bully the Play Vault for, you know, reviewing a game and saying it was crap. Like Dungeon Siege.
Well, to be honest, this already does go on quite a lot with PR firms, because I signed the Play Vault up a while ago to a game site called GamePress.com, and basically it gives you direct access to PR firms and publishers. And a few of the PR firms, once people on there had received a game and gave it a low score, the PR firms had refused to have any further contact with them or send them any games at all. So I think it does still happen. It's just it's not as public as with Duke Nukem.
Yeah. Now, and it is a sad reality, but hopefully one that as the internet and gaming sites and review scores continue to grow, we're going to see less and less of it. But hey, here's something we maybe want to see more and more of. John, how excited are you for Batman?
Batman?
Extremely excited, but I don't think I'm as excited about what you're about to say.
Okay, so let's just talk about the excitement of playing as a different character, like Catwoman. Are you excited to play as Catwoman?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Now, what if I were to tell you you could play as Robin?
Who wants to play as Robin, though? He's always been the slightly less cool one. He's just there because Batman feels sorry for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is kind of true.
my mom and dad died as well. Oh, all right. Yeah.
You have to admit that they did kind of remake him into a bit of a badass in the or they tried to make Robin into a bit of a badass in the George Clooney Batman days of the movies.
I never watched the George Clooney one. I watched Batman Forever. Less said about those films.
So you're not excited about the fact that you can pre-order this game at Best Buy and get Robin as like an exclusive
is
reveal.
This true?
Yes.
Oh, fucking hell.
Robin coming to Batman, folks. It's happening. They said it wasn't going to happen. It is happening.
It's like that Family Guy thing where he turns up and like the women on the edge of the cliff are like, what can you do? And he's I got a phone. You know? And it's like, you do imagine that. It'd be great if you played the game as, you know, you ordered it from Best Buy or whatever, and you're playing as Robin. And like, it's Batman, he's here! No, it's Robin. Oh, okay. Alright, well, we're just going to carry on because you're not going to do anything. Yeah, you know, that'd be great if they did that.
What I'm actually pretty intrigued about, and actually, I shouldn't say intrigued, I'm slightly worried, is that it would seem to me that Robin would be a character that you could unlock in the game, regardless of where you bought it from. But it's sounding like this is, like, Robin is exclusive to buying it from Best Buy. And he has, you know, unique gadgets and special moves, blah, blah, blah. But he also comes with, like, you know, two maps that are exclusive to the Robin pack. And I just really am kind of getting tired of these kind of exclusive deals of you have to buy it from this store to get this content or that content. It just all is kind of starting to rub me wrong.
Yeah, it's annoying. Yeah. It's annoying. Yeah.
All right. Well, here was something annoying, for me at least. Ghost Recon. They promised us a beta way back with Splinter Cell Conviction and then just nothing.
Nothing.
But I'm happy to say it is coming.
Really? When?
January 2012. That's the not-so-exciting part. Still like a year away. Yeah. John, are you excited for Ghost Recon?
I'm actually not a very big Ghost Recon player,
John,
to be honest.
Why did we invite you on this podcast? Yeah, you don't like Robin, you don't like Ghost Recon, what the fuck?
Jesus.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just said that I'm not really a big player of it. I tried Advanced Warfighter and I didn't really get on with it, but I think that's because I seemed to try it about a year or two after everyone had finished playing it, and that's not often fun playing it on your own.
Good point. It's a good point. Maybe this time we'll get you in ground level day one. Boom. We'll play some Ghost Recon together.
The Kinect Gunsmith stuff looks so cool that I'm already know that I'm going to buy this on day one.
Awesome. See, that's what I like to hear. See, you're
that was in this, game, wasn't it?
Yes, that is in this game. It got me excited.
Because they brought out an online version as well.
Yeah, well, they do have the Ghost Recon online free-to-play PC game that supposedly is going to somehow make its way to the Wii U. which I am kind of trying to figure out. Is it going to be free to play on the Wii U? Is it going to be a pay to play? In which case, why would you do that when you can play it for free on the PC? It's confusing.
Is that just on the PC and the Wii, or will it come to Xbox, do you reckon?
As of right now, just PC and the Wii U. But
I'll give that one a miss then.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll see what true form it takes on the Wii U. All right, let's move on to the next story. Mike, I Battlefield 3, I don't recall how big a Battlefield fan you are. Are you excited for Battlefield 3? Somewhat less.
Yes. Yeah. No. I'll be buying it. I'll be buying it day one. Yeah. I'll play it. I like the Bad Companies and the 1943 and yeah, they're all right. They're good.
All right. Well,
Bad Company 2 is a good time. I've always had a lot of fun playing the multiplayer. I enjoy it.
Yeah. No. It's definitely a series that it started off with lots of people getting really excited about it, and they showed off all this PC gameplay and it looks fabulous. And then, the Jimmy Fallon show, they showed the PS3 version that it looked good, but not great.
I haven't seen that. Not as good.
Yeah, let's be honest. Nobody should have thought the PS3 version was going to look as good as a high-end PC game. Just wasn't going to happen.
No.
Apparently DICE is no longer going to talk about Battlefield 3 on Twitter, due to kind of the overreaction, especially from TheExaminer.com, basically some of their tweets about the game. TheExaminer.com, I guess, went on and basically said that, DICE kind of was favoring the 360 version now because they had recently talked about a special lighting feature that they were excited about. And I don't know. And this is kind of going back to maybe our story when we were talking about the reviews and stuff and getting blacklisted. But is this maybe kind of our own faults as journalists? And John, maybe we could bring you in on this. Are we maybe our own worst enemies when it comes to being, maybe a little bit too passionate about games and holding developers to task a little too much?
I think that as gamers, and journalists and people like us that are always surrounded by games, I think that we are overly critical on graphics to start with, and it's straight away with Battlefield, it's all about the way it looks. And for example, I played the original American McGee's Alice from 19, whenever it was, in the 90s, and they hadn't bothered to make it HD, and it looked terrible. And I did think straight away how much graphics have came on now. So I think that we're just being overly critical sometimes. It's too easy to not realise how good we've got it with the state of games now and how they look. And it's easy to sort of say, yeah, it looks better on a PC, but I'd much rather just play it on a console.
Yeah. I mean, and I sometimes worry that maybe, me being too passionate about one version or another version, kind of comes across as being a bit fanboyish. I mean, I do prefer playing on the 360. I don't hide that fact, but I really do try to give the PS3 its just due. And I felt like a lot of the criticisms and the attacks on DICE in particular about, the PS3 version not looking as good as the PC version just came across as very fanboyish. But this is coming from a lot of quote-unquote gaming press. And I just kind of wonder, are we too zealous about this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I think it won't matter when the game's released. It's something that's just kind of, we have very little information about Battlefield 3 now. So, I think all we can talk about is the way it looks, because that's all we can do is look at it. So I think that people just kind of jump on whatever they can talk about. And a big part of first-person shooters is how fancy they are. I think one of the things that comes along with a first-person shooter that it has to have a little bit of flash about it. And not even I don't mean explosions everywhere. I mean it just kind of has to have this kind of style or look to it. Like Metro 2033, not the best game graphically, but it has this really weird tone to it that people kind of seem to like. And I think that's a big part of first-person shooters is the way they look. Plus, we don't have anything else to talk about. What else do we know about Battlefield 3? Yeah?
So. Yeah. We now know it's got a special lighting source on the 360. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the game. I'll leave it at that. Let's talk Luzix. Let's talk hackers.
Hacksaws.
Yep. John, so apparently there was a teenager arrested in Essex, which I believe, isn't that in and around you guys somewhere?
No, not really.
No?
Not really. It's more, it's in London somewhere. It's in the London area. London's a pretty big place. It's there.
Okay.
Yes.
But yeah.
So it's, yeah.
So apparently he was part of the old Luzix group that was a splinter off of Anonymous, and he's basically kind of trying to justify their actions as, you know, they were trying to protect the greater good from, you know, if you don't know it's insecure, then you're vulnerable type thing, and that was why they were doing what they were doing, and basically that they splintered away from Anonymous because Anonymous was getting too PR hungry. I personally don't care. I'm just happy this guy got arrested.
Yeah, well, it's getting beyond a joke now, isn't it? Like the whole hacking thing. You know, I heard it on the radio today. They're talking about how, like, they've hacked other things and Nintendo and all this. And I'm like, oh man, just stop! Like, we get it. You're good with hacking. Stop it.
Yeah, so
it's getting a little bit ridiculous. You got to be careful what you say with these things, but everybody just wants to just not worry about these things. It's not nice. It's not nice to read about these things.
Yeah. I mean, if they're going to hack us, they absolutely should go to veteran gamers and.
There's nothing to hack. Like, if you hack that, you get nothing from it. It'd be a waste of your time.
You probably would benefit from being hacked, Mike.
Yeah, maybe.
More PR publicity out of it. So.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on.
It's, I mean, even like, you know, the whole Sony thing, like even people like you and I, Greg, like who are, and John as well, I'm sure, you know, we're like Xbox, you know what I mean? We're Xbox fans, but we just wanted it to be fucking over. Like, you know, it's just frustrating. It's just like, shut up. Like, I just want it to work again. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I don't like it.
Don't like it. Want it to change.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's the news. That's it. Short, sweet.
Ta-da!
Boom. Done. We're going to take our show break, and when we come back from the show break, we have another special surprise. Actually, it's not really a special surprise at all. It's kind of a crappy surprise, but we're going to throw it on the listeners anyway, so we're sorry ahead of time. We'll be back.
Peace.
The NSA training program presents the basics of close combat training. This is John. John is a terrorist. His daily routines are taking hostages, placing bombs, and trying to conquer the world. This is Sam. Sam is a professional soldier working for the NSA. His specializations are close combat, use of high-tech weapons, hunting down bad terrorists like John. Let's see how our friend John performs in a combat situation. Lesson 1, the Omega Punch Strike. Let's see that again. That got hurt. Great job, John. Thank you for your attention, and good luck in your future mission.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, VGHub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery. All right, we are back from the break, and as promised, that little surprise, the thing you really probably didn't want to hear at this point, well, we bring you Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Hello, all. I'm back after a long and deserved break from these morons, but I'm glad to be back. Wow. Now I just have to remind myself that this show happens every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and not to be barbecuing ribs around that time so that I can be here.
The worst part
of yours was barbecue ribs.
I know. He said they're good, and of course, you know, it's just like a tease.
They are.
It's a wicked
delicious
tease.
So I'll send you pictures.
Awesome.
I took pictures of them. I recently joined a barbecue forum on the internet.
Of course you did.
So that I could learn some more skills. And I've been, so I take pictures when I barbecue now. Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Chris.
So what have I been playing? Exactly.
Yeah, that was right on top of my head and what I was thinking. What have you been playing?
Yeah. Well, something's got to be on top of your head. Your hair's gone.
God, he's just back on fire. Look at him.
Oh, it jumps right back in.
So what have I been playing? I finished the main story of L.A. Noir and, awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Good.
I've
not finished it yet, Chris, just to warn you.
I'm not going to spoil anything because I figure we'll wait a couple more weeks for that.
Yep.
But I have finished all the main quests. I'm going to go do the DLCs, and I'm also working on the collection things, finding all the cars and stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you liked
it. So how far have you gotten, Mike Chen? I'm assuming you've gotten far enough to meet the dude in Vice that has the weird suit with the red shirt sleeves.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty far. Like, without spoiling it, I'm I'll just say one word: insurance.
Oh yeah, okay.
Insurance. By the way, that dude with the weird suit. When I saw that suit, I immediately thought of Two and a Half Men and Charlie Sheen's character because it looked like every shirt he wears.
Because I was looking at that suit and I was thinking, now I knew they wore some crazy stuff back in the 40s, but I didn't think anybody wore a suit quite that crazy. I mean, did they dress like that back then, Greg?
Yeah, it was a little zoot suit.
You would know, right?
Yeah. My favorite, this is the gayest thing we've talked about, but my favorite.
See, you missed, there was a burn at Greg in there, but it was too subtle.
We got it, but see, you were slipping, Chris. It's okay.
I was right on target.
My favorite outfit is the one without the blazer with when you can see his holster thing. I always wear that one. That's my favorite one. Oh, that's a good look.
Yeah, fair enough. This is pretty gay. Chris, what else have you been playing?
I've been playing some of that Might and Magic Clash of Heroes.
Wait a minute. You said you had a question about L.A. Noire.
That was my question, was did people wear suits like that?
Oh.
Greg was
about the gameplay or like the
no, I was just wondering.
Does freaky people wear that shit?
He was looking for an eyewitness accounting of the suits.
When Greg was going to college, did people really wear shirts like that?
Hey! Like, you know what? This ain't no Dave Dog UK 5 here. I love you, Dave.
Anyway, good times. Have you started finding the little cars in the garages, the secret cars or whatever?
Oh.
Yeah, I found it.
They're pretty cool. There are some pretty fast cars in those garages.
Have you come across any film reels?
No.
No.
Those are hard.
I have found them, but with the help of the interwebs. Oh, like, I would never have found them if I hadn't gone.
Are they ridiculously hard to find?
They're not in places that you would come across naturally. That's faux show.
I come across the badges naturally sometimes, but not
badges.
Badges.
I don't need no stinking badges.
What badges?
There's police badges everywhere.
those are the garages where the cars are.
Oh, the garages with the police badges. Yeah, that's where the special cars are.
What? No, there's just badges everywhere. On the desk, like in the town hall, there's a badge there.
No.
Did you pick it up?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're collectibles.
Okay. Well, if you see a badge on a garage door, that's a secret garage.
No, well, there's just badges on desks and shit.
Oh, I haven't been looking at those. I found all the newspapers. It was kind of a neat. I like the way they did that with kind of the side story, and then they eventually come together and actually cross, and then you go it kind of crosses back and forth, you know.
Especially one where like you kind of find out who kind of, you know, like who's the snitch in one certain point, and that's cool, like because you wouldn't have found out how that occurred if you didn't read the paper. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Chris,
you know, but I have to say the papers were actually kind of a very important part of the story.
Yes.
More important than the fucking war thing.
I know, and I almost feel like they shouldn't have handled it that way. They should have reversed it. The newspapers should have maybe been the war story stuff, and the cutscenes should have been what was in the newspaper, because if you miss some of the newspaper stuff, I mean, that really is important to the overall story.
Definitely.
It is, but I don't know. I like the flashbacks to the training, you know, to they flashback
many,
to
though.
Yes.
And then they, many?
Well,
some might say that.
No one says that. Ah,
yes. See? I didn't realize that. Oh, fuck. You bastard.
So anyway, I like the flashbacks because they really show you who Cole Phelps is. Like, if you just see him as a detective, you think, oh, well, he's a bright shining star, and the one big flip at the end would be out of place. You know, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about with the big flip.
Yeah.
But having the backstory of him and his relationship with Kelso through the war kind of makes that fit a little more.
Yeah, I suppose it does.
Kind of made me feel like Cole Phelps was a douchebag.
Yes, I felt like.
Well, he was great A. I mean, he didn't have any way to do things other than to follow procedures.
Yeah,
which is what made him such a great detective. You know, he was very anal retentive, detail oriented.
The kind of thing that he does. That are we getting on spoiler territory? But like, we'll be careful. The thing that he does that upsets everybody is a bit out of place. That's what bothers me.
You're talking about the thing that he does as a cop that gets him in trouble, or the thing that he does as an officer that makes everybody, as a Marine?
No, as a cop. Like
yes.
Okay. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That would have seemed really out of place, except for sort of seeing his past. That's to me, anyway.
Wow. Now, see, I would disagree. And this really, we're skating spoilers, and we're really doing our best not to.
I'm not talking about like his job. I'm talking about his life. Like,
right. His personal life is not elaborated enough in this game to justify making it a bigger deal when they do.
I kind of agree with you there. Like that did kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that was on purpose. And so I'm going to say you're right. His personal life wasn't elaborated enough on. I think the flashbacks to the war elaborate on his character, you know, his own personal demons, and that makes it, you know, there's a chink in his armor, so to speak, and that makes it fit. Otherwise, it'd be like, there's no way, you know, if you watch him as a detective, you're like, there's no way this guy would ever do anything wrong. He's always on the up and up, straight and narrow.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. He's done things wrong in the past, so he could do it again. Whereas, you're saying if you just do him as a cop, then.
It's not even that. Just that he's made mistakes before, so he's prone to make mistakes again. It shows his own personal neuroses and his own personal struggles that he has to go through, kind of a thing.
But here's my thing: they didn't show enough of his background for me to care one way or another. It's like when he did it, I was like, "Yeah, all right, okay."
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I kind of saw the. Well, that's a spoiler. We'll leave that be.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we should
something like that coming.
Yeah, we should stop now.
Yeah, we should stop. John is just like, what the fuck happened?
And it's Nitro 3 when they throw shit on the buildings. That's like artistically the best thing.
That is artistic. It is. All right. Yeah. Chris, anything Sean?
Anything what?
Anything? We're still talking about what you've been playing, in case you forgot.
I know. I didn't hear you. Something was my head. I'm sorry. No, that's it. L.A. Noir and Might and Magic Clash of Heroes. I've been playing that one. It's good fun.
Awesome.
And that's it. Yeah.
Cool. It's good to have you back, my man. Good to have
good
you.
To have it's you good back. To be back. Now if I could just remember that I'm back.
All right. So the first question we're going to tackle this week, it was sent to us by a listener of the show, friend of the show, and now guest host on the show, Mr. John Malfive himself. So, John, what was this question you sent us? Maybe we should just have you ask it now.
Okay, then. I asked.
I'm not too happy about it, dude.
I was doing a score, Doug, and I was falling to sleep. Oh. I haven't played that much L.A. Noir.
As long as you don't come out of a sleeping bag to talk.
I'm more professional than that. Okay. Rubbish game-based movies aside, if you could take any game and make it into a good movie, what would that game be?
All right, I have a quick question. This is just based off of your reading of your question, which we have the question right in front of you. Now, your translation of the question was rubbish game based on movies, yet what you wrote was shitty game based movies aside. Now, my question is, in the UK, when you say shitty or you see shitty written, do you automatically flip a switch in your head and just say rubbish?
No. But like that,
I think he's just trying to be nice for the show, Greg.
I was just being polite.
John, you should have figured out actually like about an hour ago that that was not needed at all.
No. So rubbish and shitty could be replaced.
Intertwined, yeah.
Yep.
Right. Synonyms.
So, Mike, why don't you go first?
Shitty-based game movie aside. Any game. I don't.
Game. Make it a movie.
Crackdown would be a good movie.
Ooh, yeah, that would.
Really?
No, really? Crackdown would be awesome.
No.
Why be not? Better than
Doom.
It'd be better than the fucking game. It would be just be a superhero movie. You know, like with the crazy jumping and the stuff. You could make a fun movie out of that.
It'd be like 2 hours of a dude running around a city trying to grab little
grab orbs.
People would be like, "All right, we get it. He wants the orbs." I mean, if you think about it, like Crackdown, I realized people were really addicted to it, but it's really nothing more than a three-dimensional Pac-Man with guns.
I just think like an overpowered cop that could jump around really high. Why not?
They made that movie. It was called Superman.
Oh, snap. Okay, so Uncharted clearly has to be taken off of the list because that is a clear, obvious choice.
Yeah, I'm trying not to go for the obvious.
Yeah.
I guess I'm sorry, Mike. I shouldn't be making fun of your selection. That's not why we're here.
Now I'm worried you're going to kill me.
I'm going to say Left 4 Dead. That could be made into a good movie.
Suppose.
It's kind of already been done, actually, with The Walking
Zombieland.
Dead. Zombieland.
Zombieland, Day of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, Walking Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead.
All right, you made your point.
here I go again. I can't wait till it's my turn. You guys are like, this is terrible.
Guess what? It's your turn.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of some that I thought would make a good movie. The problem is they're already like movies. Because I was thinking like the Mass Effect universe would be awesome to tell all kinds of stories not in any way related to Commander Shepard. But the game itself is so cinematic already that I don't know if it's necessary. I would like to see like a strategy game made into a movie, like a Command and Conquer or a StarCraft kind of a. So they actually have some big set pieces with tanks and planes blowing things up, and then they also go into the headquarters kind of, you know.
Yeah, I'd probably throw StarCraft on that list more than I would Command & Conquer, only because Command & Conquer had the FMV video, so it's kind of like ruined it already in some respects.
Yeah.
But I could totally see StarCraft. I think that would be actually a pretty good movie. John, did you have one you wanted to throw in there?
Yeah, for me, it's got to be Red Dead Redemption. I think that would make such a great film.
Yeah.
It would be awesome. They could expand on that so much because I've been playing a lot of the undead stuff lately, and the stories and the way they continue, it's fantastic, and it'd just be brilliant if they opened that up for a full film and really just went crazy with the story. I think it'd be brilliant.
Well, I was going to say, they kind of have already, you know, that's already been done with like the Clint Eastwood old spaghetti westerns, but not the zombie part. I will definitely give you that.
There's got to be a zombie western somewhere, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I can honestly say I've never seen it.
Well, there's a space western, right, coming out soon.
Cowboys versus Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah.
The more I see that, it's growing on me. Like first time I saw the preview, I was like, really?
Yeah.
But I'm kind of getting into it. The other one that I'm sold on is the Conan remake.
I haven't seen anything about that.
That's one that I don't really care for. Like,
it's because it's got swords. It's
swords and guts. Anyway.
Let's move on to our actual question for the week. I know we want to talk movies, but we're going to stick to video games right now.
Borderlands would be a good movie, right?
Why can't we talk?
Well, who's your favorite sidekick, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
In a game.
Skulldugger.
Skulldugger.
In a game.
In a game.
In a game. I always like the little funny sidekicks, you know, the ones that don't really do much.
Oh, like Jar Jar Binks.
No, he was more like annoying. I'm trying to think if there's another example, but I liked having Guilty Spark follow me around for a while in the Halo movies because he always had something stupid to say and he never really did a whole lot. But then Halo 3 spoiler, we had to kill him in the end. Nice payoff there. Go ahead.
Gladys? Maybe Gladys?
So I've never played Portal. I know that's blasphemy, but I know. I'm dead to you. I get it. But yeah, I'd go with that.
All right, Guilty Spark for you. Mike, what about you?
I'd have to say Rex from Mass Effect 1.
Rex, okay.
I always took Rex with me. Everywhere. Okay. I love him. What's the new Krogan called? Well, not new. The one in 2. What was he called?
Grunt.
Oh, Grunt. Yeah, he was, yeah.
He was
alright, but I prefer
Rex. Was always Rex to me.
Yeah, Rex.
All Krogans are alike.
Grunt was... You're such a racist, Grunt.
Yeah, you're right.
Such a xenophobe.
Hey John, what about you? Who's your favorite sidekick, or what is your favorite sidekick?
Mine's a little bit of a weird one. It would have to be the dog from Fable 2. Definitely.
You don't have to find anything
in that game yourself. Your dog will do it for you. Man's best friend.
Right now, Peter Molyneux is just beaming, smiling ear to ear.
He sent you a review copy of Fable the Journey.
No,
you'll fall in love with your horse this time.
He did say that, didn't he?
Your horse is your new dog. For me, I think Sully. Sully from the Uncharted series. I loved him.
Yeah.
He was
the old codger's always a good one to have around.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's find out what the community had to say. So, Mike, I'm going to have you take on the tweets.
Okay. All right.
All of these actually are related to this question, by the way.
All right. Well, I'll just read them out anyway. Soup Dragon Dan says, no, this one isn't. I think I deserve a shout out. I have alienated myself tonight by promoting your podcasts. I'm not sure what he means by that.
I don't know. I'd take a little offense there, Soup Dragon.
Maybe he was on a play date or like he was playing some games with the G4TE lot and he was like, you should listen to the podcast, guys. And everyone, fuck that guy. We got a tweet from Veteran Gamers. I don't know. And it says, Chinny Harley Quinn
Well, Greg. It's podcast quote of the week.
Oh, podcast quote of the week. Right, okay. Chin, this is something that I said. Harley Quinn, Greg, she gave me a chubby. Lols.
So, that's terrible.
That is pretty terrible. I did say it, I have to admit. But what is even better is the next.
So John Mayer replied with, what a chubby. This isn't really question of the week related.
No, not at all.
So I take it this is nothing to do with a fat kid.
No, not at all.
I could probably
with food either.
Better context, John. Chubby in your pants.
Shit yourself. No. Right. So anyway, knife party 2381. So that's not a party I want to go to. Says. I am equally as disappointed as you lot about Kinect Star Wars. I was really excited for it, but it looked lame. Again, not question of the week related.
I know, nobody cared about the question of the week and the tweets.
So, you know, but it was nice for him for Mark.
Don't worry about it, folks. Question of the week related or not, we always appreciate your feedback.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yes. John, I'm going to have you take over on the forums, and then Chris and I will do tandems on the emails.
Ooh.
I know, it's exciting. So that first forum post, this is a character in there. I don't know who he is. You could probably skip over that one if you want.
Well, I've never heard of him, but it's from CPM 1376.
Who's that guy? It's too many numbers in this gamer tag.
He writes that School Duggarat is my favourite video game sidekick. After all, who would Chin Chinny be without his wisecracking partner in Britishness?
See, Chinny, you're
is
reliant.
Britishness a word?
Yeah.
I wrote it, and so there it is a word.
Remember,
it's
John.
It's just as much of a word as Brangelina and Binifer and Skull Duggarer, in fact.
Just remember, he throws grenades.
Sorry.
It's a word,
speaking
as far as I'm concerned.
Skullduggerer comes up next with, mine is easy. it's
nice.
Got to be the posh bloke from Defence Grid. He sounds like Denholm Elliot, the butler in Trading Places.
Jesus Christ, Trading Places.
another movie, pretty sure, before your time.
It's a great flick, though.
It's Eddie Murphy and
yes.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Dan Aykroyd? Sorry, there you go.
Yeah.
I'll get an image of Santa for some reason. Does he dress up as Santa?
That would be not Eddie Murphy, but Dan Aykroyd dresses
right.
up as
so
Santa.
That's the right movie,
gets
right?
drunk. Yes, gets drunk.
Gotcha.
Yes.
One's rich, one's poor. They swap places.
Yes.
Places.
Yes.
Very good.
He says, care for an orbital strike, sir, but I'm guessing he doesn't want it in a Brummy accent.
No, that's what the guy from Thingy says, right?
Yeah.
Defense Grid. He is good, actually, that narrator. In Defense
he is,
Grid.
He is.
Next up, we've got Rolling Ninja, who says, mine would have to be your wingman in Ace Combat. It's nice to know that if you have a SU-37 on your 6, you can always ask your AI buddies to launch a hellfire up their tailpipe.
Mm-hmm. I
have to point out that the hellfire is a air-to-ground missile, so you wouldn't use it against another airplane typically, but that's details.
okay. Chris, I believe we're going to...
We got Bongo.
Oh, Bongo. My bad. Bongo, sorry. John, go ahead. Bongo the Sane.
Oh, I didn't see that. Bongo the Sane. Bongo says, Charlie, my 5-year-old, always has some good advice when we fire up Toy Story 3. He also pilots a mean Falcon Chopper in Halo Forge and loves his jets in Just Cause 2.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we need to be a little clearer about our question of the week.
Yeah.
All right, emails. Chris.
I think it's good when people take some poetic license with the question. It's more
it is more entertaining. Interesting. It is.
Anyway, Mr. Eric Petrosky, otherwise known as Duke Scath, the Duke of, what is it, Stormgood or something? Anyway, he says, hey, it's me, hooray! The guy you were all hoping he would write so you could get all excited and fall over with the cheering and happiness. Yay!
He was rather cheery last podcast.
That's good. That's good. My first week of summer vacation was glorious. No responsibilities aside from walking my dog and playing games. Those are good days. Alas, I didn't play as many games as I should have, but I'm about 5 hours into Dragon Age 2. Yeah, it's got some problems, but I don't see why all the hullabaloo was about.
Keep playing.
Overall, I'm enjoying it. They made some good changes and some dumb changes, but the characters are good, like all of BioWare's games, and the stories are interesting. Though I haven't really gotten into any main plot line yet. Seems a little weird. Yes, it is a little weird.
Yes.
Good guesses on the candy bar out of my desk, which you were all wrong. It was the Charleston Chew, which is disgusting.
Yes.
Anyone who watches Futurama, please do the Nixon voice.
I am not a crook.
I don't know. I'm not a crook. And you never asked my question, what candy bar would make a great video game?
We did. We threw out answers. We just didn't say what kind of game it would make. Whatchamacallit would make a great video game, Duke. It would be a hunt and peck video game. You would have to look for something on the screen. Whatchamacallit.
Boom. Point and click adventure, as they call it. And, Twix would be a cool twin stick shooter. Right? Very clever. With chocolate and a crispy cookie center, and you play it twice. Also, there'd be caramel. Perfect. I think some people are confused about why I'm critical of the new Lara Croft game. I agree that it looks superb to play and the graphics are excellent and all that. I even think it's a good idea to humanize Lara herself, showing some vulnerability. My problem is with how weak and feeble they're making her. Those are capitalized, so I tried to emphasize them.
That was good.
Think of it this way. If they released an Uncharted reboot or prequel and Nathan Drake were all, Shriek, help, I'm so scared, gamers would not stand for it. It would be an insult to the character. And the same is true for Miss
Croft. Hold on. Duke.
Let me just finish the sentence. Right, and the same is true for Miss Croft. Stop. Greg.
Okay. No, I'm not confused. I get exactly where you're going with it, but you got to remember, they took Lara Croft and made her young, as in a young woman, as in inexperienced, learning about herself, learning the trade of being a, you know, dungeon crawler, 21-year-old, just experiencing life. If you took Nathan Drake and made him 21 or 18 or whatever and did a prequel with him and made him just a little buck experiencing life for his, you know, first time, I think people would be a little forgiving if you made him a little weaker and he grew and grew into his character to become stronger later on. It makes sense.
Look at Luke Skywalker.
I think the reboot of Lara Croft, she's still a badass. You know?
Yeah, like, dude, she took a stake through the side and she carried on.
She still was like, I mean, she's just going through, like, they can't make her like Drake, Nathan Drake, where she's like cracking jokes all the while, because that would be weird. You know, she was like, hey, there's a snake in my body. You know, but that would be weird. Like, you can't do that with that. But like, I'm looking at her like, man, she's cool. Like, she's, you know, take some shit.
She's toughing it out. She's surviving and having an orgasm every 2 minutes. Again, can't go wrong with that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That might have been a bit out of bounds.
Yeah.
Get off. She's 21.
Come on.
All right, move on.
So the rule is half your age plus 7, Greg, which makes even a 21-year-old too
young for you. We covered this off air. There are no rules. The rules are out.
Anyway, I wish you all lots of success in your latest grandiose endeavor, the podcast. And let's see. I should ask you all a question. What's your favorite toothpaste? I prefer Arm & Hammer whitening. Thank you. Thank you. Good night. Much love. Say it like Terry Tibbs. I don't know who Terry Tibbs is, so you get.
Thank you. Good night. Much love. That's what. Like,
okay. Good. Okay. I love you. Bye bye.
Arm & Hammer.
Arm & Hammer.
I don't know what my toothpaste is called.
I'm a Crest guy. I am a
Crusty, more like it.
I don't know what the name of my toothpaste is.
Although I can't do the pasty white toothpaste. I have to have the gel.
The three colors?
Not the three colors. I like just a gel. No, don't
yeah, like a blue one.
Swirl it or anything. Yeah.
We should ask John. He hasn't said anything in a while.
John is asleep.
I was just brushing my teeth.
Well done.
It's all lovely. About Colgate. It's got to be about Colgate.
Mine could be Colgate.
Mike, maybe it's Colgate. By default, British people don't know about toothpaste.
Oh, shut up.
You don't have teeth.
I've seen a lot of American people with bad teeth.
Sadly, so have I.
Yeah.
That stereotype is not rhyme true.
So this is this is kind of a funny story, but I'm going to tell it quickly. I had a soldier once that worked for me who had four teeth in his mouth. And depending upon which way he was facing, he had one tooth facing in each caudal direction. So when he went to the dentist, they're like, we have no idea what to do. So they just took his four teeth out and gave him dentures. They're like, here you go.
Yeah.
So he ended up getting in some trouble and was about to get kicked out of the army. And so myself and some of the non-coms had convinced him that when he went to turn in all of his kit, he was going to have to turn in his dentures before he left.
You can't take my teeth, can you?
That was good. Cruel and unusual, but funny as hell.
Anyway, Eric P., a.k.a. Duke Scath, and email. Thank you, Duke, for writing.
Thank you, Duke.
Always wonderful to hear from you.
Yes. All right, next email is from Mr. Aaron Stevens. He goes on to say, hello, gents. In light of it being Father's Day earlier this week, I figured I would throw a question or two out to my man Murphy. I don't know if anyone else on the show is a dad, but I was on the show when little Colin was born. So, Murph, maybe you have Colin around when you are playing games. Are there any games in particular you've noticed he likes to watch you play? Yeah, as a matter of fact, if he gravitates – whenever I'm playing a shooter, I see him actually stop playing with whatever he's playing and turn and watch. It's just a little disturbing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's going to be joining Chris in the obviously.
Yeah. Chris, you play any games with your little one?
I try, but he's getting to the stage where he doesn't want to sit still.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. He doesn't really care. If he's in the room, he doesn't really care what I'm playing. He just likes the colors. Although he likes games where those faces, like where people are talking to the screen so he can see their face. He likes that. He's at the age where he really likes faces.
Okay. He says, also, when he gets a little older, what sort of games are you going to try and get him into playing? Forza, platformers, et cetera. That's a good question. I mean, I'll probably stay away from the mature shooters and go more towards.
Yeah, you can try that.
I'll try that for as long as I can.
It's not going to happen now.
Yeah. Eventually, I'll cave in and let him play some shooters. But, platformers will probably be the game of choice to, because those games typically are pretty conducive for co-op play. You know, try this level, okay, try to get past this, and you pass the controller back and forth between the two of you.
Mario is always good.
If I had a Nintendo, I would get. Chris, what about you? Any thoughts on that?
Any thoughts on games? Definitely going to get him into racing games as soon as I can. We'll probably start with something like Cars or, you know, something easy. And flying games like Ace Combat and Hawks, because those are good for the – there's some understanding of the world that comes with being able to drive and fly in a simulator type game. So we're gonna work on that. And then
I love the way you go, we're going to work on
we're gonna
that.
We're going to work on that.
He's going to fucking fly this plane.
Well, yeah. So it's sort of like the thing that we've been – like Katie and I were talking about it. Like a lot of people say, well, the kid's got to go to college. Well, you know what? He doesn't have to go to college. He's got to go to college or he's got to learn a trade. So learning a trade requires some understanding of the physical world. And so we're going to make sure he – plus I teach physics. So he's got to understand the world, right? Because that's just the way it has to be.
I now feel like my answer was completely inadequate.
No, dude, no. you're just actually enjoying some time with your son. You're not already trying to figure out how he's going to be the president of the world.
I like it. The world, no less. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, second.
Yeah, I didn't say which world. He's going to be the president of like Mars or something.
Cool.
He goes on. So 2011. You know what? Actually, real quick, I should ask because I don't know for sure. I mean, Mike, I'm pretty sure I know you don't have kids, right?
Well, legally, I'm required to say no, I don't.
Brilliant. John, any kids through illicit or, you know, whatever means?
Not any that I know of or have got old enough to contact me yet. But I did teach a class of 11-year-olds for 2 months last year, and they were not interested in platformers. As soon as they found out I played Xbox, all they wanted to talk about was Grand Theft Auto and Halo and how they played with their dad on Call of Duty, and they were not having any platformers.
Yeah, it's amazing how they steer themselves towards the games they shouldn't be playing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like how kids watch films they know they shouldn't be watching. It's
human nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
The best thing to do is just let them do it, because if you hide it from them, you know. I think, anyway. Anyway.
Sure.
Carry on.
All right. 2011 seems to be the year of the coal. Who was your favorite coal of 2011? Cole McGrath? Cole Phelps? Or the Coal Train? Mike.
Cole McGrath is...
It's an excellent question.
I think it might be from Infamous, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Because I just know him as Cole.
Yeah.
I don't know, really. Because Cole Phelps is annoying.
Yeah.
He's definitely... Is he?
He's not my favorite.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's not
so
my favorite.
Fucking, he's so goody-two-shoes. I'm like, fuck me.
Well, but he isn't. You know,
well, yeah, I suppose.
Initially, you want to believe that. So it's interesting, right? You all, the two of you, I'm assuming by your silence, John, that you've not played L.A. Noire.
I have. I'm just not very far in. I'm on the first traffic case.
Okay, we need to shut up. anyway, so the two of you find him really annoying, right? And I find that interesting, and I think it has to do with backgrounds. So because I'm an army officer, I have a certain type of personality, and so I don't really find him all that annoying. I do think he's kind of a tool, but yeah. His attention to detail and rigor and sticking to procedures are sort of things that are important in my line of work.
I like that about him. Yeah. I will say that. I like that about, you know, he's thorough and he's anal about things. You know, he's quirky. You know, he's interesting. He's complex, I guess. But he's just he maybe not annoying is the right word. Maybe he's just he's too. You know, he kind of rubs you up the wrong way sometimes. And there, but like definitely by when you get to the end of second disc, third disc, like your opinion of him alters slightly. But I'd probably say Cole Phelps because he's the most interesting, deep of the three.
Did we figure out who Cole McGrath was? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Infamous.
He's the guy.
Oh, okay.
The good thing about Cole McGrath is that he's a normal guy. Right. But, you know, he was just a normal dude, and something extraordinary happens to him, and now he's a superhero, and he has to deal with that.
I haven't played Cole McGrath enough to.
No, neither have I. Neither have I.
Cole Phelps to me is just, I don't find his character to be relatable. And for whatever reason, in that game in particular, I wanted to relate to him better because I was playing him. And like I was really okay with him being the by the book guy and do everything by the book. And I felt like when they took him out of that and they had him doing things that were out of character, it felt so foreign. And even though they tried to set it up with some of his background, I felt it just didn't. It didn't go with the character I had been playing. And it bothered me with his character. But, yeah, Coltrane for me, Coltrane. Just by default. Coltrane, woo! Baby! Woo!
Woo!
John, what about you?
It's got to be Coltrane for me as well, because woo! I think that he balances out Marcus and Dom's character, because they're quite serious all the way through Gears. Marcus is always moaning about his dad. Dominic's always moaning about his wife, which, fair enough. But he sort of adds a bit of...
Who isn't always
memorable
about their
wife? Yeah, we at times I think we all wish we could handle it the way Dom did.
Oh my god, she's not in the room right now.
We're going to jail.
He adds a little bit of humour and he balances them out quite well. So he's pretty much a badass as well. So gotta be Coltrane, especially as well because I haven't played enough L.A. Noire and. Finding out that Cole Phelps is that annoying, I'm not sure if I want to carry on now.
No, play it. No. He's interesting.
He's an interesting character, and it is a really good game with an interesting story.
I mean, I love the game, John. So, all the characters in L.A. Noire are quite well written. I think they've all got depth to them, including Phelps. You know, the fact that we're having quite a sophisticated conversation about it speaks volumes about the game. I think.
Right.
Oh, it's really well written.
Chris, I'm guessing you're going with Cole Phelps.
Well, so of the three, I would pick Cole Phelps, just because I think his character has the most depth, and so I have kind of a different perception of his sort of change in behavior that we talked about, and that's like he finally grew into himself.
No, never mind. I'm not going to say it's going to be borderline spoiler, so I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say it.
All right. Well, you know, yeah. So they have the war. They have the war flashbacks, and he's you know, by the numbers, by the numbers, by the numbers, and having been a young officer in a combat zone, I understand how there's that pressure. And so when you aren't sure what to do, the thing you fall back on is procedure. And then eventually you learn how you grow out of that and you can kind of be more flexible. And I think that's kind of what he finally did there.
Kill them all.
So that,
kill them all. No. Fall back. Kill them all.
Anyway.
That's standard procedure, right?
Yeah, it is. I just wanted to add, so you talk about Dom being a pretty serious guy, and he is. But there's one bit from Gears of War 2 that still makes me laugh every time I think about it. You know the scene where they're on the boat and that giant fish attacks them and you got to throw the grenades in the giant fish's mouth, right?
Yeah.
Right after you blow up the fish, Dom's kind of like, you know, the after battle recovering his wits, and he says, "That's the biggest fish I ever caught." And that to me is just really funny. Anyway.
All right. I'm going to continue on with the email.
I had a character for him, but sorry. That was long.
Yeah.
Cole Phelps for me. Phelps.
Yeah. Cole Phelps. There we go. Lastly, he goes on. I'm just going to finish out his email now. Let's all focus. Lastly, who do you think is the better climber, Cole McGrath or Ezio Auditore? I would have to say Cole, but damn, does he stick to everything like glue, and especially when you don't want him hanging on something. But he does move up buildings nicely. They're kind of pretty close. I like Ezio's. I would just say Assassin's Creed animations. For the climbing and the way they move, I find those to be a little bit more natural.
Yeah.
But they're both pretty damn good climbers. I mean, they both climb pretty much everything. So, this is true. It has been pointed out to me repeatedly now, that Cole Phelps also climbs up things. and I'm not going to say what kind of things, but he does climb on things fairly easily within the game as well. But to me, not nearly as good as the others.
Are we really going to call that a spoiler that Cole Phelps can climb drain pipes? I mean, is that a spoiler?
No, I don't think that is a spoiler, but climbing on penises might be.
I do think.
Whoa.
I do think when he climbs up those drain pipes, right? Like, I think, fucking hell, wouldn't they fall over those drain pipes? Like, surely they can't be that well made. And that,
things were made to last back in the 40s.
Yes.
And that's when Greg's still
except
there.
Except for the suburban house development. Ah!
Spoiler.
Oh. Anyway, he says, keep up the good stuff. Aaron, FNA Eternal. By the way, I did not actually write the whole penis thing. That was somebody else in this show. Just want to point that out. John. All right, Chris, finish out. Last email. Let's wrap this thing up. Come on.
David the Alien writes, good evening, stellar crew of the OC podcast. He must be listening to another show.
Yeah, clearly.
I've been playing an absolute shed load of games, which I'm not going to list them all and bore you all half to death. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Gaming Challenge 4. Yes.
And then he goes on to list them. FIFA 11, PFBC, Battlefield Bad Company 2, Red Dead Redemption, L.A. Noire, Portal 2, first time ever, and absolutely outstanding, Wheatley is a Riot.
True.
Okay. Dirt 3, Fable 3, and Forza 3. Hope you have a great show. Shouts out to CPM. That's me. For Battlefield Bad Company 2 the other night. Yeah, so David and I had a couple of rounds of Bad Company 2 Vietnam. It was cool. I enjoyed it. That was the first time I played it.
Okay.
Peeps at TPV. Play ball.
Play ball.
There we go. Played with them on Sunday AM for their play date. Defoe, Stick, Murphy's Law, and anyone else that was there for Homefront after BFBC2 with CPM. Forza Crew that was there for an inter-community championship. And Gregory's skills on the second race. Oh, my. Was that you, Greg? Did you crash people again?
Oh, I wrecked big time at the very last race. It was awesome.
Good job. David the Alien. Thank you, David. Always a pleasure.
Yes.
And yes, I did have fun playing Battlefield Vietnam. David and I were an army of two medics holding our ground in a game of conquest all by ourselves. It was good fun. Nice. So community to play dates.
Hold on. Before you do that, we're going to do a question for show 122.
Oh. My bad.
Yeah, that's okay. We're trying to get in the habit of announcing next week's question on this show, so people are better prepared. Yeah, it's clever.
So what's next week's question, Greg?
Well, for those that like to play driving games, do you prefer using a racing wheel or a gamepad? Yeah. And I know the obvious answer seems like it's right there. You know, driving game, racing wheel, but I don't think it's an obvious answer.
Okay,
you'd be surprised.
We'll find out next week.
Yep, you will indeed. All right, Chris, now go. Playdates,
yes,
community,
go.
Good stuff.
Friday night races, check the boards, see what we're playing. The inter-community Forza 3 Challenge is going down Saturday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is 12 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 a.m. for the folks on Zulu Time. What? That's what it's called, Zulu time.
Yeah.
No, the time zone.
It's Gross Mountain Time, dude.
Yes, Gross Mountain Time. Are there even any mountains in the UK? Anyway.
Yes.
I guess there are up in Scotland, right?
Yeah, there are.
Are those hills or mountains?
They're mountains.
I think those are mountains.
There's plenty of hills. Oh, there's lots of it. Go to Wales. Everything's up a hill.
You don't want to go to Wales.
Rugby Wales? The fuck out of Wales.
F1 championship final round is Sunday, and the veteran gamers are playing Battlefield Bad Company 2 on Sunday. Is that still correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Six
6 p.m. Grouse Mountain Time, or whatever Greg wants to call it. And we're also playing with another community this week called I think it's Team Awesome or something.
Team Awesome.
Yeah. It's
all, like, I don't know if you should be playing with people like that. They might actually be good.
Apparently, like, it's quite ironic now. I think I might be murdering anyway. But the Duke says, like, they play a ton of Bad Company too, and they're really friendly, so we're going to join up with them.
If you have room, send me an invite, because I would like to play some more Bad Company too.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Yeah.
Ongoing. Inter-Community Connect Olympics.
I love that.
That sounds great.
Come on. Now there's a thread up in the forums.
I was just getting there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you didn't seem terribly enthusiastic about it. This is important stuff, man.
Now, see, anyway, whatever. there is a thread in the forum that you should go check out, g4te.com. And they're taking sign-ups for the Connect Bowling League. So if you have a bowling shirt, perhaps a cooler full of beers and some sweet shoes, and you want to bowl, do it. It should be fun. Yeah.
I got some sweet shoes, baby.
Yeah, bet you do. Birthdays this week. Happy birthday to Donnie Chichuro, Ginge Ninge, Raw Messiah, Rickster, Rolling Ninjas, Powder Monkey, and for some reason it's in very small font, so I'll say Sarge B. It's a secret birthday. And welcome to the new members, Patty Pittman, Lee 866, Terry, Kamikaze Lee, 5.56 millimeter. That's a scary individual. And Engine Tote, I
sure. think. I don't Engine know. Tot, something like that.
Engine Tot. Yeah,
I
good.
I saw that and I thought Tater Tots.
Tater Tot. Get your own tots. I'm going to have to look up this 5.56 millimeter cat. Cause,
yeah, I know. That screams military.
Or someone who likes to hunt with a 223 but prefers the metric system.
Okay, sure.
He's yeah. sucking me up today, Chris. He's on fire. So,
I know. Oh. He is in fuego.
Fuego. All right.
Hey, I think we've got an iTunes review. And Mike, you should
that's
read it.
That's because I told people I was coming to their house with grenades if we didn't get iTunes reviews.
That's funny enough. It says, please don't kill me. That's the review. No, it's by The Real Defoe. And it says, very entertaining gaming podcast brought to you by the fine G4TE folks. Listen to keep up on the latest game news, a few laughs, and to see if Rich can stay awake. Rich has been replaced with John May 5 this week, so.
Sorry.
You should subscribe now! Explanation point. A couple of times. Cheers. By the way, episode 118 was awesome.
I think I wasn't here for that one.
He may have been here for that one. Yeah.
I think he was on the podcast for that.
Yeah.
One.
It would have been awesome.
Self-promoting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Yeah, thanks for the review, Gary. I appreciate it. And absolutely, anybody else that feels the need to give us a review, do so. Or Chris will throw grenades at you. I guess we kind of can wrap up the show now. Hey, John, I know you're still awake. I heard you talking. If you were going to email this show, this is a trick question, I know. If you were going to email the show, what email address would you send an email to?
I wouldn't email the show, but if I was to email the show again, like the many that I've already sent before, I would send it to the usual address, ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you for that. Mike, tweets.
Yeah. You can tweet us at @OC_podcast. OC_podcast. Send us a tweet. It could be about the question of the week. It could be about why you hate Greg. Anything, really.
It's a popular topic.
Yes. It's
all right.
On Twitter right there.
Shout outs. John, why don't you start us up? Go ahead, plug the Play Vault, all that good stuff. Go for it.
Plug.
Well, I'd just like to shout out you three for having me on here with my dodgy Birmingham accent. You probably haven't understood a word of what I've said. But, yeah, so thanks to you three guys. And, yeah, I'd like to give a big shout-out to my website, The Play Vault. A shameless self-plug here. I've got to shout-out the old fart, Dave Dog, as well, or he won't be very happy with me. And a big shout-out to Curtis Morton and Gage for being pretty awesome and helping things move along with the site. So, yeah.
All right. Awesome. Mike, why don't you go next?
I'm going to shout out pigs and pig farmers. I don't know why. I think Chris is going to elaborate. I'd also like to shout out Rockstar for providing me with many hours of entertainment. Shout out John for joining us and for tapping on his keyboard loudly.
Yes. Noisy
Shout out for at Zombieland for being a good movie. Well done, them. Shout out to Aston Villa. Because I'm not a football fan, I don't really care. But there's a big debacle, Greg. Yeah,
with the football thing.
Right? Because Aston Villa's rivals is Birmingham City, right?
Birmingham City. Those are a bunch of bastards.
Right?
Yeah.
Birmingham City got demoted to Division One, right? But Aston Villa have now got their manager. Am I doing right so far, John?
Yeah, you're spot on.
Right, and then like everybody's going, oh, we got a fucking Birmingham manager, that's shit. Right, but like, you know, like people are getting kind of kicked off about it because he's quite a defensive manager and he's, I don't know. But yeah, I'm quite well connected over Aston Villa, John, so I might be able to sort you out with some staff over there.
That's yeah, definitely. Yeah. Swing some tickets my way.
Maybe.
I'm just going to get you a free cleat.
Yes, one of those. Done. Chris, go.
What the fuck, Chris?
So, yeah. Thanks to Mike for stealing my shouts, but I would like to shout out pigs, pig farmers, and butchers everywhere, because I am too lazy to raise and slaughter my own hogs. And so the fact that I can go down to the store and buy two racks of spare ribs, nicely shrink wrapped and ready to go, I am very thankful for, because they are delicious and cause me to be late to the show. I'd like to shout out John, of course, for joining us and for taking the heat off of my back for being loud typing, which is good English. I would like to shout out Vanilla Ice for being irrelevant on the pop music scene, Skullduggerer for being Skullduggerer, and Mike and Greg for being awesome. That's me done. Let's see. Greg, have you shouted yet?
Ice, baby.
Yes, now you have.
No, I have not shouted yet. I would absolutely love to thank John for coming onto the show last minute. We definitely appreciated your contribution. And yeah. Chris, thanks for remembering finally that we're podcasting. Appreciated that.
Yes, that's right.
I do expect ribs in the mail. Just go ahead, ship them. I'll eat them.
Ship them to me. Like, by the time they get to me, they'll be a bit, you know.
They'll be like rib jerky.
and a shout out, of course, to Skull for thinking he has something better to do, like wake up early.
Fuck.
I don't know. Go figure. But I do have a little something I want to, you know, leave you guys with.
All right.
It's a book title. A how-to book.
Okay.
Yeah. And you got to love the actual grammar in English on this one, but how to goodbye depression. If you constrict anus 100 times every day, malarkey or effective way?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah, God. That's it. We're done. Oh, we're out of here.
Greg, your mind has been, shall we say, in the gutter today. Like, yeah. That's usually my job. Am I slacking? Is that the deal?
A little bit. And it also, I mean, really, John contributed.
Yeah, John, yeah.
Silently, yeah, John. In the background.
Blame the new guy. Yeah,
it's the shooter on the grassy knoll, dude.
I think we finished the show there. Oh yeah. Well, we have to kind of fake some outtakes now.
No, you don't have to fake anything, Mike. I don't want you to fake.
Oh, what have we been playing? Oh, well, I've been smaying. Oh, I said smaying instead of playing. Put that in the outtakes. We don't have any outtakes.
That's going to be in the outtakes.
This is an exciting podcast. People are listening thinking, oh, this show's great. I'm going to leave a review now. When will they talk about video games? Yeah, I think right. Let's talk about what you've been playing.
John.
What are you doing, John?
Yeah. Dude, we see you through your video camera on your laptop.
Yeah, just put your trousers back on.
It sounds like a computer from like 1980.
Yeah, like keyboard. When
it just sounds
mouse,
old. Thing, yeah,
when you click your mouse, it goes doing like that. It's really like spring.
You know what? Just shut up.
How do you deal with it, Greg? Is there some kind of club you go to when you're 30 and go, look, you're old, but this is how you deal with it? Like, how do you deal with it?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, when I was 30, I was dating 21-year-olds, and when I was
was you really?
I was dating 30-year-olds. Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Oh, well, my caveat when I was 30 was that they had to be able to drink. As long as they could drink, I would date them.
get them drunk enough and
if I could take them into a bar, I didn't want to hang out.
I was talking to someone the other day and I was like, I don't think I could like be with a girl who's under 20 now. Zombieland, I think.
Hey,
yeah, it's pretty
Chris.
Good.
Chris.
Greg.
Describe the game Tempest to the boys.
Have I played this game?
Son of a bitch. Come on, Chris. You're killing me. I like the picture.
I bet you want Panama Red. So I told you about the farm.
Well, Jesus, John.
Are you killing a cow?
You fucking lay on top of your laptop when you come back on. I don't know what he does, but I'm pretty sure he can hear us right now.
I think he's scratching records. It sounds like
John, are you with us? Earth to John.
He's walking through a haunted house to get to his computer.
It does sound like that, yeah.
John?
Oh, is there no fucking plug in there?
I hope you recorded that. I really hope you did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's recording.
That was classic.
I think, you know what it is? I think it's got headphones.
No, I can hear.
I don't know what he's doing. He's beating shit up.
He's got
when his back's turned, there's a hamster reading on his laptop.
Yeah.
Or the spitter on the grassy knoll.
Mm.
Seinfeld? Anyone?
No.
Anyone?
I need to watch more stuff. So I can't. I've watched them. I love them.
Could I reference any more stuff that you guys were not even born yet for?
I was born for Seinfeld.
I was born for Seinfeld. What the fuck?
Like I've watched it, but it's not like one of those things that I memorized.
There you go. That's
the only thing I know from Seinfeld is no soup for you. That's it. That's my Seinfeld.
Are we still podcasting?
The only thing I remember from Seinfeld was when they take out their wallets from their jeans and they're massive. They put them on the desk. I love that.